Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining me right now is Dr. Carl. He is a science communicator. He happens to live in Australia, but I think that he actually belongs to the whole world because he is fascinating. I could watch this man on YouTube for hours. I wish he just had more videos on YouTube so that I could do that. Dr. Carl, I have a question about my dog and her scratching. Apparently it's good for...
The dog and her scratching?
Yes, apparently it's a good thing to scratch.
Yes, and we've had a lot of trouble in trying to understand this because anything to do with the human body is complicated. So with regard to scratching, we've discovered that scratching does two things. So what we did was we got some dogs rather than humans, and we started with dogs, then we'll go to humans, and then they applied a chemical to the ear that is something like poison ivy. It's an irritant chemical. And then they just sat back and watched what happened, and they looked very carefully, and they found that two things happened. When the dogs scratched, the first thing was that it somehow, and we're still not sure, stimulated the immune system to cause local inflammation and then send in chemicals called neutrophils, which are part of your immune system and which fight bad guys. That was the first thing. And then the second thing they discovered was the act of scratching, provided it's not too much, actually changes the type of bacteria that are on the skin. There are many different types of bacteria on the skin, and it changed it from a mixture of good and bad into more good and slightly less bad. So a little bit of scratching can be good, but I'm sure you've probably had the experience of wanting to scratch heaps and heaps and heaps, thinking there's just too much to go on.
I was just thinking about my dog. My dog's very allergy prone. So that's why I thought, well, that's interesting that it's actually possibly not a bad thing when she's scratching.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but not too much. So you've got a dog that is allergy prone.
Yes. She's an English Bull Terrier. I had to get something English because I don't speak German. And, you know, she's very, like, especially when she's walking on the grass, she gets insanely itchy paws.
The paws. Well, firstly, with regard to itch, we don't fully understand it. We only started discovering the nerves for itch a few decades ago, and we still don't fully understand pain. But we do know that itch and pain are on a kind of seesaw where when one goes up, the other one goes down. And so if somebody's on opiates for pain relief, at the same time, even though the pain is gone, they might feel a desire to scratch themselves. And in some cases, we can get rid of itch when it's caused by histamines. But as a proof, we don't know what's going on. There are other types of itch for which histamines do absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to learn more about that. But in the short term, a little bit of scratching is good, but too much can be bad.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so that's interesting that itching is not necessarily... So is if we've got something that's an irritant, like a mosquito bite, does that have any benefit for us whatsoever?
Well, that's kind of weird. We don't understand that one either, because normally the mosquito has already gone before the itching starts. And we thought, wrongly in the old days, the purpose of the itch was to warn you when something small was attacking your skin like a mosquito. But now we know that it's there to get you to scratch a little bit, but not too much. So the mosquito may be well gone, but it's left behind the calling card of the chemicals that will set off the itch in some people, but not everybody. So are you one of those people who is beloved by mosquitoes when there's a barbecue on and they ignore everybody else?
No, because I actually use spray if I'm going to be outdoors.
Ah, is that DEET?
We've got one here called Peaceful Sleep. And
Peaceful Sleep?
Yeah.
Ah, lovely name.
Yeah. When you go to the bush, when you go to the game reserves, then it has a smell. And the game reserve smell is that of Peaceful Sleep because everybody takes it for the mosquitoes.
This is something in the South African of which we do not have in Australia.
Have you been to South
peaceful
Africa?
Peaceful Sleep. Yes, I went briefly to Johannesburg and then to a few national parks. And Africa is enormous. 54 countries and a combined surface area of Australia and America and China and maybe India thrown together. I know nothing about Africa, much less South Africa. I've got a lot to learn.
Well, you should come back. You should come back. Yes. Okay, good. All right. So if you would like to bring Dr. Carl to South Africa, SMS us 061-895-1019. All right, Dr. Carl, can we please talk about mowing lawn in curves? Why?
Well, do you have a lawn that you mow or get mown?
Yes.
And it's normally mown dead flat?
No, because the ground isn't dead flat.
Okay, but following the ground, the grass is sort of fairly close to the ground.
Yes.
Ah, if you deliberately leave bits unmown and do it in an S-shaped curve, after 2 years, you'll find that you've got more bees and more butterflies. Firstly, more absolute numbers of each of those creatures, and secondly, more biodiversity. But it takes about 2 years to do that, and there's something going on at the boundary between the short grass and the long grass. On the other hand, if you happen to be in somewhere like the USA, where I believe they have things called homeowners associations, mm-hmm. the other owners or the association might complain about you and your messy ways, not realizing that you're trying to increase insect numbers as well as biodiversity. I don't know how to get around them. Now, the other factor is, what sort of pattern are you going to leave in the grass? And I thought the easiest would be simply a love heart.
Very nice. So I'll tell you, in my garden, there's obviously a lot of biodiversity. I've got these tiny little butterflies that are about the same size of my thumbnail. And on the top of their wings, it is this luminescent purple. It's almost like that neon purple, you know, like that black light, mm-hmm. ultraviolet. And underneath is white. And they're tiny. And there are hundreds of them on the lawn. And they go and they drink the dew early in the morning. And then I've got other different kinds of butterflies. We've got white ones and we've got black and purple and orange ones. Beautiful.
Lucky.
A lot. I know, right?
Yeah. I'm amazed by the fact that at one stage in its life cycle, the butterfly turns from a larvae into a white amorphous blob of sludge and then emerges as a butterfly. And the weird thing is that if you train that sludge in some way, then when it turns into a butterfly, it'll remember what you trained it.
Okay, who figured this out? Who said, here's a little blob, a little blob of sludge, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to train it to come.
So they trained it by, on one hand, giving it food, so it would go yum, 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 and it would like certain types of food. And then also, with another sort of food that it normally liked, whenever it got close to the food, I know this sounds cruel, they'd hit it with a little bit of electricity. A bit cruel, huh? But when they turned from a larvae into the white sludge and then out of the cocoon back into a butterfly, the butterfly remembered that one food was good and it avoided the other food that it had been trained with electricity to avoid. Isn't that weird?
That is weird. You know, we've got a phenomenon every year this time. We have these white mm-hmm. butterflies that they are flying. They fly across South Africa. And they fly across the sea. I think that they're going to Seychelles or somewhere. They fly long, long, long distances. And it's quite a spectacle to see. If you look out onto a park, there are just thousands and thousands. They're on the roads. They're everywhere. And it's a beautiful thing to see. I think we need to bring you back to Mozambique. There we go. That's one of our listeners letting me know.
Oh, my God. That sounds fantastic. Thank you.
Well, we should bring you here. We should bring you here and take you on a tour of South Africa. Dr. Carl,
I'm very happy to do. Yep, go on.
It's always a pleasure to speak to you. It would be lovely. To have you.
Thank you so much.
Doing a tour. Thank you very, very much. That's Dr. Carl. Go and check him out. It's Dr. Carl with a K, please. And go and check him out on YouTube. He's really fascinating. He knows so much about everything. And he's just really interesting. Somebody said to me, it's like their favorite time of the whole week is listening to Dr. Carl.